So for a long time, the CF churches have had kind of an unofficial motto or tagline. Does anybody know what it is? What?
Don't run a church.
No, it might become that. It might become that. Anybody know? You do? What?
The unofficial motto of the church?
Yeah.
Come die with us.
Come die with us. That's right. For a long time, the unofficial motto of the church was come die with us, which should never go on a t-shirt, ever. If you ever see an article that is titled How to Know You're in a Cult, one of the indicators would probably be they wear t-shirts that say come die with us. But that motto is really shorthand for we invite you to a relationship that goes all the way to the grave and beyond. We invite you to a relationship that goes all the way to the grave and beyond. 1 Corinthians 12:12-13 says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit." So if I believe that God puts the body together, then that means I don't belong to myself alone. I belong to the other members of the body. And that's a belief, if you really believe it, that's a belief that has consequences. At one time in my life, it was pretty settled in my mind that at the end of my career, I was going to retire to Florida. Like, that's what I wanted to do at the end of my working days, for Dawn and I to retire to Florida. That's what my parents envisioned, and that's what they got to do. They've been retired in Florida for a long time. And it just seemed natural to me, and that was something that I wanted. But after a certain number of years in this church, having developed very close friendships and having spent a lot of time with good friends and giving and receiving within the body, I realized that retiring to Florida was pretty unlikely. It was something that I was probably not ever going to actually do. If we're a part of this body, are we really going to leave after 30 plus years of walking with people and laboring with people and crying with them and laughing with them and serving with them, praying with them? You know, are we really going to want to spend the rest of our days then apart from all those people? You know what happens when your body parts start to retire? Your health goes down. And a couple of years, I told Shannon that she was, you know, in the body of Christ that is TCF, she's like the pancreas of the church. And I don't know how much you know about anatomy, but it's really hard to live without a pancreas. It's almost impossible. And I feel like life would be almost impossible if Shannon weren't in the church. So I'm not going to retire to Florida. And I'm probably not going to take a job in another state either. I go to conferences every year for work, and the networking times are always great opportunities to put yourself before other schools and get hired by other universities. It's like a big dating pool for getting a new job, you know? And I end up just sitting by myself and eating the snacks because I'm not going anywhere. I don't plan to move to another state and take another job. I'm not going anywhere. Now, we're not the only ones who have made that decision that this is where we want to be for life and with these people. There are many other people across the CF churches who have done the same. And think about how this goes against the values of the world. The world doesn't value self-restriction. The world values having options and having outs and having freedom to do what you want. But the triune God values relationship, and that's expressed through love for one another. Chad once said, "When I get old, I don't want to live far away from everyone. I hope I'm sitting in a rocking chair, drooling next to Ryan, Patrick, and Kelly in the nursing home." I was always very, very touched by that. And I hope I'm drooling there with you too. That's a vision for lifelong friendship. But having said all that, I hope you'll hear me loud and clear when I say this. We are not saying that once you're part of this church, you'd better be in for life. We are not laying that on anybody who comes into the church. We're not saying you got to be in for life. We are not the Hotel California, which if you remember the Eagles song, there's the lyric, you can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave. We are not the Hotel California. When people come around and get to know us, we want to help them grow as disciples of Jesus. And when people commit to being part of the church, we want to help them grow as disciples of Jesus. And when people leave, we still earnestly want them to grow as disciples of Jesus. It's just that we probably won't be very involved in their discipleship anymore. That's just the way it works. And when people who have been part of the church for a while leave, frankly, it just hurts. I mean, it hurts. It's like having a body part amputated or removed. It hurts. But that's the price that we have to pay for living in real relationship. A couple days after Nico died, I was talking with Nick after the Friday service that we had. And I said, you know, we enjoy the richness of living life together, but this is part of the cost. You know, this is part of the price. And the only way to never feel grief like this is to just lock your heart away in a box and never give it to anybody and never get in relationship with anybody. And you just show up for your weekly church service and do your thing and you just move on and you never get to know anybody. But I'm glad that's not how we live, whatever the price, right? One of Wendell Berry's best fictional characters, Hannah Coulter, says this. She says, I could see that love is a great room with a lot of doors where we are invited to knock and come in. Though it contains all the world, the sun, moon, and stars, it is so small as to be also in our hearts. It is in the hearts of those who choose to come in. Some do not come in. Some may stay out forever. Some come in together and leave separately. Some come in and stay until they die. And after. We invite everyone to a lifelong relationship. Not everybody takes it. Not everybody who commits to it ends up keeping that commitment. And there's no judgment in that. We understand that sometimes circumstances change, sometimes beliefs change. There's no judgment in it. Now, if somebody's going to leave because there's a conflict or they're running from something, we hope that we can have a conversation. But we don't want people to feel trapped with us for the rest of their lives. We don't want people to feel like they are stuck here. This is the church. This is God's body through whom he is renewing the world. We don't want people to feel like they are stuck with us. Dawn and I hope that our kids will want to stay right here and find spouses right here and make this place their home. Not just because we want them around, but we hope that they will see the vision. They'll see what the church is about, and they will want to be an active part of it. And it will just be something that they own. And they invite others into it because they own it. A recurring theme in Wendell Berry's books about this fictional town of Port William, which is a small town, is that people there grow up and they just can't wait to get somewhere else, somewhere better. And that character, Hannah Coulter, says, most people now are looking for a better place, which means that a lot of them will end up in a worse one. There is no better place than this, not in this world, and it is by the place we've got and our love for it and our keeping of it that this world is joined to heaven. Something better. Everybody's talking about something better. The important thing is to feel good and be proud of what you've got. Don't matter if it ain't nothing but a log pen. And so we invite people into what we have because we're good and proud of what we got. So come die with us. All right, any questions? Right.
We know that they're transient. So just if you want to speak on that a little bit, how we approach college students.
Yeah, so college students come, it's kind of baked into coming to college that they're not planning to stay here, especially if they're not from here. And it's fine. I mean, we hope that they will come around and want to grow as disciples of Jesus. And then if they leave, if they don't stay, we hope that wherever they go, that they will want to become a part of a church, they'll want to walk with other people, they'll want to grow as disciples. And if they do that, wherever they are, we're thrilled. And you know, hopefully we can stay in touch with them. Last month, I had breakfast with a guy named Ben Kreider, who's a youth pastor in Michigan. He was in our church. He was at Asbury University in the mid-2000s. He graduated in 2008, and he still visits us when he's in the area. And, you know, he's a youth pastor there. He walks with God. It's great. We're glad that he's doing that where he's at. Didn't have to be with us. Sure.
Their comfort, their what is known, their homes, things like that. So what would be kind of the thought on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's very possible that there would be a young person, it doesn't have to just be a young person, but think of a young person who perhaps senses a calling to do something somewhere else. You know, my hope is just that he or she would be known to other people who could help clarify whether that calling is something that fits, something that makes sense, or if it's something that doesn't, and could say, you know, brother or sister, that doesn't quite seem to resonate. But, you know, if it's just, I always get wary when somebody says, well, God told me this, and then it's like, well, not a whole lot I can say. If you're insistent that God said, then, you know, I guess you have to do it. Anybody else? Caleb.
Just as we gather around the proverbial punch bowl, how do you voice concerns? Or what's the traditional process with TCF, CF? Or are they
you send that in your email.
Yeah. Yeah, so voicing concerns just about leadership or the church or anything?
Yeah.
I did put that in the email today that that's what I was going to talk about. And then through conversation today, it looked like it was probably going to be more of an expanded topic, probably one that will take over 1 or 2 weeks. And so I ended up pivoting to something else. I can say, as it's not really a teaser, we want to hear concerns. We absolutely want to hear concerns. And we also know that not everybody who has concerns wants to necessarily walk right up to the pastor and share those concerns. And so we also want to have channels where people can express that in a way that's not intimidating to them. But yeah, I think we're tackling that next, kind of how authority works in our churches.
Versus the outward facing, how do we bring more people in that balance, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have seen churches that do, you know, just the tight-knit, no, it's very closed off, and the ones that only care about the people out there. What does that balance look like here?
Yeah. It's a good question. I don't know if this is exactly an answer. We've had a lot of growth in the last 4 or 5 years. A lot of it, you know, I don't want to point to any particular things. I think we've been living life the way we lived it for the previous 12 years that we planted. You know, just meeting people, getting to know them, inviting them to home group, to church, to dinner. And so, you know, part of our life together in the tight knit has always been then opening that out to other people. It just seems like in the last 5 years, we've had more people actually take us up on the invitation to come around. I don't see us ever stopping wanting to open up, you know, our lives to people, because that's how we live. So we never like pull back, but at times we've had seasons where we have been more intentional about evangelism, but not so much in the last couple of years.
I might just put it a slightly different way. In Deuteronomy, Moses tells Israel that the nations are going to say, man, what is it with these people? And what is it, like their laws? Man, their society is so compelling, and we want to learn from them. And in my pastoral experience, I haven't had to worry about the balance, because we know that's our calling. It's built in. And if we do well with life together and simply being good neighbors and good fellow, you know, without, I guess I would say that I think even without formally doing evangelism, evangelism continues to happen. So I think that it seems like the work is our life together and then just exposing people to that life. And I don't know that I see it as, I definitely know what you mean. There are people that just focus on community or just focus on evangelism. But if we know what our calling is, and our borders are always open, I think it draws people in a, I guess I would say, just an organic way, which is, I think, just saying another way of saying what you just said. And now, that's not to say that I don't, obviously there's plenty of examples in the Bible and history where God specifically sends people to places, and I think that speaks to something of what Cassie was asking. But if you think about congregations, everywhere Paul goes, he starts a congregation. It's these little outposts of stability, of the stability of the people of God, you know, everywhere he goes. I don't know if that answers.
I think the close-knit nature of our home groups and all of that add to that. But, I mean, to your all's credit, we're being fed here, too. And I think people who yearn for that and they're somewhere else, they see that we're being fed here and they want that. So, I appreciate that.
Amen.
You bet.
Amen. Thank you. As a quick follow-up to something Don said about college students, and sometimes college students do stay. I was just thinking about Isabel. I think she's probably down with the kids, but you know, she was a college student here. But there was I never would have expected that Jeff was going to stay when he was a college student. I mean, he was, you know, fine guy, but I didn't know if he really liked being around. I don't think I would have expected that he was going to stay. In fact, he had a friend who was much more of a leader type outwardly that I thought, you know, and said a lot of the things like, yeah, this is awesome, I want to be here and stuff, and he didn't, and Jeff stayed. Sometimes that just happens. All right, any last thoughts? All right, well, let's pray. Father, we thank you as we get closer to Good Friday and to Easter. We thank you for this time to reflect and to remember our Lord Jesus' death and to glory in his resurrection. We are thankful that his is not just the story of a good man who was unfairly and unjustly killed, but that you vindicated him by raising him from the dead. And that he is seated at your right hand even now, interceding for us. The evil one has been cast out and no longer has a place before you to accuse us. And we thank you for that. We also thank you for this church. We thank you for those who came before us in meeting together as people who wanted to know you and to grow as disciples. We pray for fidelity to one another. We pray that we would live our lives as members one of another, giving and receiving in love. Help us to be faithful. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.